So.
We interrupt this program to bring you Courage the Cowardly Dog Show, starring Courage the Cowardly Dog! Abandoned as a pup, he was found by Muriel, who lives in the middle of nowhere with her husband, Eustace Bay!
Yeah.
But creepy stuff happens in nowhere. It's up to Courage to save his new home!
Stupid dog!
Well, welcome to the Scaredy Cats podcast. We got a special kind of Halloween special or Halloween Christmas special here. We won't be around next week, but we're here to bring you the two epic movies, Pulse and Cheerleading Camp. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Harmer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hello, guys. I hope you liked our little Courage the Cowardly Dog improv school session.
Yeah.
That was great. Gotta love courage. As my boy Daniel just said, we are going to be taking a little bit of time off just so Daniel can go have a little vacation.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do, because I am lame and I stay home, is we are going to do a Facebook Live together, everybody. And we're going to watch the movie Seed of Chucky. That way you guys still get your scaredy cats fix.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to be doing little clips of TikToks, which everybody, thank you so much. The TikTok channel is doing great. 18 followers. Awesome job, guys. Almost 1,000 views.
Yeah.
Great job. Thank you so much. YouTube's doing well. Facebook's doing great. Keep it up. And we'll keep it up with you guys. Dana, why don't you go ahead and do the plugs?
All right. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Box and Smark, every Wednesday after AEW. And now on Saturday nights for the Hollywood Hangout, I got to start talking to Box because I'm a big movie fan myself. So
we might jump on a couple of those.
Yeah, I'd love to do a collaboration or something. But check them out on Saturdays for the Hollywood Hangout and the wrestling show on Wednesday. Make sure to check us out 6:30 p.m. for Unscripted Wrestling, the hottest wrestling show on the planet right now.
Yeah, go check out my brothers. We're doing really good, guys, with that show, too. Keep it up.
Make sure to check out Unscripted Everything or Everything Unscripted on Saturdays. We've been doing all kinds of different shit. It's just kind of our time
random
to have fun. Yeah. We did a 2.5 Men retrospective last night. And we're coming into the new year. When I come back, we're doing a top 10 our favorite quarterbacks of all time.
Woo!
I believe, for NFL players.
Let's get it started right before the Super Bowl.
So we got a lot of good stuff coming there. And make sure to keep checking out Scaredy Cats at 3 p.m. Make sure to keep checking out our TikTok, our Facebook, Scaredy Cats Podcast, our YouTube channel. We're growing that immensely. So check us out in all the different avenues that we have.
And also old school wrestling, guys. For Daniel and Dougie,
mm-hmm.
Old School Wrestling on Facebook. Go ahead and give us likes, shout-outs there, all that stuff. Everything helps.
Yes. 50,000 strong in that group, and we appreciate the support. And let's keep it going to the new year. It's been a good 2021. All right, Mindy, we got two films to get into today. The first one being the Kristen Bell-led Pulse, which we'll be doing first. Obviously, we got Cheerleader Camp afterward. This is directed by Jim Cerenzo. On a budget of $20 million, it made about $30 million back, so not the biggest success.
Yeah, but also not the biggest budget for what they were going for. I'll let you explain it more.
I mean, yeah.
But in my opinion, not the biggest budget.
Well, I don't even know if they really had the effects for what they could go for at the
yeah.
time. Because the one thing that I said when I was watching this with Sharon was that it felt like this exact concept, and I know it's based on Japanese, right?
Yes, it actually is. Back in the day, guys, in the Japanese were coming out with amazing, amazing horror stories. We have The Ring. We the series that came from them. The Grudge came from them. One Last Call came from them. And then this little hidden gem, Pulse, came from them as well.
Yeah, I mean, Dimension and the Weinstein Company – even though he doesn't deserve to have his name pronounced right. But we've found out what we found out about the heads of that company, and they might be a bit pieces of shit, the movies that came out around this time were usually pretty good, and they had a big streak going for Dimension.
Absolutely, and Dimension also had a big streak hitting because they had gotten the rights to remake the Japanese film. I honestly feel that if it was just left to them and their creativity, they would have never came up with a story like this. This is a true Japanese urban legend story.
Yeah. Now, the one thing, the point I was making about, I think it would be better, and they should reboot this soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Because with how technology and how far it's come and how, like, everything, we just rely on it, you know, everything,
yes.
You know, between FaceTiming and...
As we've seen in Await Further Instructions.
Yeah. The technology has only evolved. So as cool as it is, the idea of ghosts coming through technology with, like, flip phones and computers and, like, DVDs and
shit. It was a little too ahead of its time.
It was. I think now that concept, they could do amazing, especially because they have the tech and the CGI and stuff to do it. I think they could make a really good movie out of this concept.
Yeah, but I also feel like it has to be the right team.
Yeah.
Just like how this one seemed to be the right team.
Yeah.
I feel like they need to have a right team going in because it can easily be hokey and cheesy.
Yeah, and this even felt a bit hokey and cheesy. In
it did a little bit, and it did have some areas where it slow burned.
Yeah.
A tad. For like 15, 20 minutes.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, Kristen Bell's a pretty good lead. You can throw her
she's
in pretty much anything.
Amazing actress.
Drama, horror, whatever. She can usually, you know, do a lot of the heavy lifting for a movie.
This is one of her only horror roles, though, I do believe so. Right, Daniel?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. She's usually drama, comedy type actress.
Mystery.
But,
she was right out of Veronica Mars, I believe.
Yes. That was a big cult success. But Kristen Bell is a good lead. I like Dex in the movie. He's the handsome bad boy in a lot of movies. I can't think of any of them.
I can't either, but he definitely is. He's definitely that handsome bad boy. Oh, you know who you may remember him from, Daniel? The Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
He was one of the good-looking vampire dudes.
Yeah.
He's one of the brothers.
Okay.
He's got those eyes.
Yes,
beautiful blue eyes, as Aunt Sharon would like to say. She loves vampires.
I just never, like, understood, and, you know, I'm not a woman, so I don't know. But, like, for girls around this, what was, like, the big obsession with, like, greasy motherfuckers? Because this dude, all I looked at it, and, like, I guess he was handsome and he had the nice eyes, but he just looked dirty the whole time. The whole time I was like, take a fucking shower. Like, I know the men at work trope for the women
and
everything.
People do the whole thing, like, that was them, and then Skeet Ulrich, and, like, the greasy-looking motherfuckers is what I like to call them. And, I mean, I don't understand why. I think greasy and bad boy are a very fine line.
Yeah.
It was the grunge look back then.
It's a grunge look, and it was in style back then. And now, like, it has evolved, but, like, it's... still, like, look at that piece of man meat. Like, but you guys, on the flip side, man, Daniel, come on. You cannot tell me that you didn't like From Dusk Till Dawn with the stripper vampires.
Yeah, that's different, though. That's not dirty. He looks dirty. All I see is you need to take a shower because your balls probably smell like Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits.
That's disgusting.
Well... he needs to take a shower. All I saw was grease and dirt, and women are very,
That was the look back then. He had the emo look.
Well, when I do that, everyone just tells me to put deodorant on, so fuck them. But Kristen Bell was a great...
Getting pissed on the couch here tonight, people.
No, but I thought a lot of the characters, besides those two, I think those two were really strong. I thought Izzy was lacking. I thought her friend with the DVDs, there was personality there, but he didn't get much time to show it.
Yeah, I mean, and Izzy also, guys, who was she played by?
Christina Milian.
Okay, so she was in the very, like, beginning of 2000s. She was, like, a Disney pop star.
Yeah.
She did a lot of concerts for Disney and... so on and so forth. So then when she grew a little bit older, they threw her in a lot of teeny bopper stuff like this.
Yeah.
I don't think this was the right role for her.
No.
I really don't. I think she did really good with Kristen Bell. I think they had an amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
I think they very well could have been roommates and friends in real life. But that's all she had going for. Daniel?
I thought she was all right, but she was a good friend. But that was about it. Like, there's not, like, her, the friend from Scream with...
Tatum,
and also the one from the second one. And she's just the friend role. Like, she's okay, but she doesn't add much to the movie.
Haley.
Haley. But She doesn't do much for me here. Mm-hmm. It's about the two main characters. And the Dex was just kind of thrown into this bullshit because he bought a stolen computer. So that poor bastard didn't really even get to... There wasn't really a need for him, but he was there.
Omar Epps. Poor guy.
All the other people, I like that...
I will say, though, guys, I hate to cut Daniel off, but I will add real quick, and Daniel's going to like me for adding this. What did you think of Josh's book? I think he looked like he needed to take a bath, too.
I think he looked like a combination between... Brandon Lee, Heath Ledger, and Keanu Reeves, me and Sharon came up with.
Okay. All right. I would agree a little bit. Not really Keanu.
That Sharon was Keanu. I said Heath Ledger, and she said Brandon
Lee,
Keanu.
The hair? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The hair.
But he was good. I mean, I didn't like, I mean, well, I did like his inclusion and everything.
Yeah,
and he's
he was
girlfriend.
The silent, brooding type.
The only thing
got everyone involved.
I liked that the kid from Freaks and Geeks was in this. That's what I was going to say before.
Sorry.
I liked all the personalities. It just didn't feel very fleshed out, and the dialogue didn't do. I didn't like the writing in this movie.
No.
I thought everything else and the story pieces and the horror, and I thought all that was actually pretty good, but like I didn't really believe all the characters were actually friends or dating or anything.
Well, that's also, I feel like, the writing of Dimension and Weinstein Company and everything, I don't feel like they have really good writers.
I mean, Kevin Williamson
is amazing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't really have a favorite writer from them, except for Kevin Williamson.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, I don't even think he could write this well because he's more of a slasher guy.
Yeah.
So I don't even see him being able to pull this off really well. But I will have to say, kind of a modern version of this, I got to bounce this off you. What did she say is Friend Request?
In a way. Yeah.
With the computer and her putting her soul in it.
Oh, Friend Request. Yeah.
Yes, Friend Request. Now Unfriended.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, Unfriended, too, in a way, because it's technology and ghosts and shit. Yeah, I can see it. And I think... You know, with the new era and everything, I think a lot of people have this sort of idea about technology turning on people.
Yeah.
And also ghosts going through technology. I think it's a great idea. And I think it was expanded on pretty good here. And I did not like the movie. I thought the movie was good. Like I said about the dialogue, but the horror elements and, like, when the creatures really fucking came out, like the dude that fucked up Izzy at the end and took her soul away from her body with the six legs. Like, that shit was nuts.
The Japanese, though, guys, the Japanese version, the creatures, if you want scarier creatures than what you got in this one, go to Tubi, guys. Get the Pulse Japanese version. You will be up for days.
Well, the Japanese version is always scarier than the American remake in any
situation.
Touche. Literally any situation. But... I agree. But just the characters, they lacked for me. The dude with the CDs, I really wanted to see him, like, expanded on more because he was the funny guy. He died, like, second looking for Josh and trying to turn off his computer.
Yeah, the tech guy.
He had the funny quip at the beginning.
I feel like the geek had to go first, honestly.
Yeah, he didn't have my – I like him.
He didn't have much of my attention. I don't like him much.
I like the actor, but I didn't really need him much in here.
No.
The only thing of comic relief was that guy that was trying to turn off Josh's computer.
Yeah, I honestly feel like the one that turned out – the guy – Fro guy. We're just going to call him Fro guy.
Yeah.
I really think Fro guy and geek guy should have switched places.
Yeah. His name is Stone in the movie. But I agree, because Stone seemed like he could do some more. I like how he was talking about his Josh saving him minutes on his phone. He's like, that's
and
a beautiful
thing. And
he
also has a really, really good relationship with Izzy.
Yeah.
I feel like Izzy very well could have been a very standout character if she had somebody to support her.
Yeah.
Other than Kristen Bell.
One thing that didn't make too much sense to me was them looking, or the fact that people kept going missing and missing and missing, and no one was realizing it was Kristen Bell.
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird.
And maybe it was because other people were in the class were under the spell too, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was that, but they never really told us that.
Yeah.
So that part was a little weird because she's literally the only, like, the class had like six people in it, the professor. And you understand, and she understands, but no one else seems to get that, oh, everyone's fucking dying.
Yeah, and the professor doesn't understand either. Like, he wants to. He wants to understand it desperately, guys, but he can't.
Yeah.
And he knows that if he pretends to, then that's just him basically giving in to her own delusions. And he doesn't want to do that. He's a professor.
Yeah.
Psychologist. He doesn't want to do that. But I felt kind of bad for her because she was played off to be like the crazy chick.
Yeah, and that happens in movies like this, and that's kind of what she was supposed to do. I think she made it work good, though.
Yeah.
She's
also an amazing actress.
It was a good film led by her. She was the only character I cared about. I think that's kind of what, by design, because I knew how big she was.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
I love a good montage, guys. In the beginning, she gave us an amazing montage. You had the dark eyeshadow and the dark eyeliner and the little ponytail. It was a great montage to Emo's Everywhere. Just saying.
And it was funny because you actually let me use the DVD of this. And on a separate note, because I realized like how many shitty like 2000s movies were like made during that time. I remember I saw a trailer for the movie Fanboys, and Kristen Bell's in that too. Where there were a bunch of like Star Wars nerd friends and they're going to a convention.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I forgot about all these fucking movies. But I mean,
Sometimes it's good to have a DVD around, guys.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty cool.
I mean, you're not always going to have a streaming website that you have paid for or anything. So it's always good to have a DVD or two lying around.
And it's cool because of the special features and shit, because they don't really do that anymore.
Absolutely not. And you get the unrated editions and everything else. So the flip side, too, is you have the free theatrical cuts and you have the unrated. So then you have, like, two different basically groups of people that can watch it. You have people like Aunt Sharon who doesn't really like that much guts and gore, and then you have someone like me that loves guts and gore and everything else. So you have a little bit of a give and take.
Now, one thing I will say that I enjoyed about this movie is the end.
Because
I think that a lot of movies, and even in horror, that you always have to go for that good ending.
And this really brought apart that it wasn't.
It was a very grim, you know, it gave our two main characters hope, but it's like they're going to a safe zone or whatever, but the world as we know it is over. And it's like an apocalypse now, and it's like destroyed. It gave opens for a sequel, which I know there were sequels, like direct-to-DVD ones, but we're not talking about those.
No.
But I just thought it was like a really cool ending. I love when shit ends, like especially in like a movie like this where everything's getting fucked up, where it's like it's fucked up now.
It kind of had a Cloverfield ending.
Yeah.
For me.
I like the grim endings sometimes, especially in movies
you
like
need
this, because you don't need a happy ending for this. This didn't need that.
No, and honestly, guys, when it comes to horror and whatnot, I mean, I do like a happy ending, but nothing is better than a grimacing, tingle down your spine. Like, oh, my God, it's over?
Yeah.
What happened to them?
Yeah.
They're just gone?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that replaces that kind of dread and that kind of emotion in you.
Because now you're like, everybody's fucked and it's just...
One thing that Daniel's going to love me for bringing this up is that it had a similar ending to Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Mr. Schneider's remake.
In a way.
All thought they were safe and they were going on the boat and they got to the island. Come on.
It's a little more brutal.
A little more brutal.
This was
but
a little more
zombie
like,
movie.
This was a little more like I Am Legend. Like,
okay.
Like,
yeah.
It had a, or like even The Mist, but not in as fucked up of a way. As where like everything's ruined.
Yeah.
Like we're going to figure out something and like our two main characters are okay and they're going to a safe zone, but everything's ruined.
And how do we know it's a safe zone?
Exactly.
We don't know who's infected and who's not.
Exactly.
I do feel like this movie, I do feel like one that ripped it off was The Happening.
Yeah.
From Mr. Shyamalan. I love Mr. Shyamalan, but he's a hit and miss for me. I did not like The Happening. I do not think plants can kill you.
No.
My personal opinion. We're all allowed to it. But that, for me, was like Discount Pulse.
Yeah, I can see that.
It was kind of what they tried to do in this movie, but it fell short.
No, I would agree. I liked it, but what was your highest kill?
Oh, my goodness. All right, so I would have to say, not even the killing, But the torturing of Josh is what gave it to me for about that half an hour of the movie, guys.
Yeah.
Because for about a good half an hour, you live through Josh's eyes.
Yeah.
And there's just so much going on.
He's a tortured soul.
Poor, exactly. Poor tortured soul. And you felt scared of what he was seeing. Because what he was seeing was, he made it very real. The actor did a really good job.
Oh, absolutely.
Of making you believe, like, he was going nuts. And I felt like we went nuts with him. And when he walked away with that cord and just walked, like, when I first watched this movie, guys, my heart dropped right to my stomach. Because I knew what he was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
When he told her to stay there. And that was just heartbreaking. I'm going to pass it over to Daniel real quick.
I mean, it was a creepy scene. My favorite kill or favorite, like, scary moment was probably the moment with Izzy and with the big creature coming, because that was, like, the scariest thing I saw in this movie.
I knew you were going to go for that, so I wanted to go for the more torturous.
Yeah. So the combination of that and just it's just taking her face away from her and going, like, I thought
it erased her.
It erased her. And I thought, and the way she looked, like, she had, like, you know, boils and shit on her face, and she was very, like, dried up.
It was cringy.
It was cringy, but it was creepy, and it was good. It was scary in a different level.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I appreciated about that scene, because this is a good movie. Is it a scary movie? No. But it's a good movie. There are some scary elements in there, but it's one of those two, because those 2000 movies, I love them.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly scary.
No.
They're not exactly, you don't leave with a, you know, a sense of dread and fright that you do with some
but
other
But I kind of did with this one.
Did you?
When I first watched it. Yeah, I mean, I am going to have to say, guys, I just watched the Japanese version first. So that one already had me a little messed up
yeah,
in the head.
You already spooked.
But this one, I mean, I will have to say, it was a really good representation of the original. Of the Japanese version. And I'll have to say the Ring series, the Grudge and whatnot, those fell short for me once I watched the Japanese version. But once I watched the Japanese and then the American version of this one, I liked them both. Now, do I feel that the characters in the Japanese ones were a little bit scarier? Hell yeah. That's
yeah.
just the way Japanese are. They don't play.
No.
Like ghosts, that's their bread and butter.
Yeah, they don't fuck around with their ghosts. So,
I mean, I do feel that, yes, it was a better Japanese movie, but I do feel like it was one of those better 2000 movies that went in their culture and brought us out a good little film.
It's not When a Stranger Calls?
No. I wouldn't put it on the level of When a Stranger Calls or The Grudge or anything like that.
Yeah. I'd agree. And how many creepy computers would you give this out of 10?
I would have to give it about 6.5 just because of how ahead of the time it was.
Yeah.
If it was a little bit more modern, it was a little bit more, like, even if it was like a 2010,
yeah.
then I would say more like a 7.5, 8. But the time really hurt.
It did.
The time and the writing really, really detrimented this piece.
Yeah.
I really feel like somebody needs to remake it or reboot it. Something needs to happen with it because it is a great, great representation of what can happen. And it's also a great story. It's a great urban legend.
Yeah.
I just feel like it was ahead of its time.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think I'd even take it up to a straight 7 for me.
Okay.
Because I did enjoy the plot in the film as a whole. There was problems I had with the – I thought the acting was all very good, though. I thought the writing and the dialogue was shitty, but it's not really their fault.
No.
I thought Kristen Bell did a great job as the star of this movie, and I thought the movie, it was paced well. There was slow parts, but I was never really out of it.
Okay.
So that it kept me involved, and I got to give it a 7 because there was creepy enough things where I was like, ooh. So that's how I feel about this one.
All right. So that is Pulse, guys. We're going to get in a time machine and go really, really, really far back in the 1980s. I believe this little gem was debuted in 88. It is a slasher film, of course.
Directed by John Quinn.
And go ahead, Dana.
Yeah. Big movie. I don't know if it was straight to DVD. There's no box office or budget.
It was
anything,
straight
so.
To DVD.
But it's a horror classic, you know. It's a cheerleading camp, you know. It's a word and then the name camp. How many? We already did fucking Sleepaway Camp. There's
we've
so many
Sleepaway Camp.
We've done Sleepaway Camp.
We've done Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Like, there had to be one about cheerleaders. I mean, who doesn't love some cheerleaders?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
all I'm going to say. And also, one thing I really, really liked about this movie, as corny and as cheesy and as god-awfully stupid as it was,
yeah,
I will have to say it was so entertaining to watch two grown people try and pull off a sex scene completely closed.
Yeah.
The man had his boxers on, guys, and the other camp counselor was Miss Tiffin. She was in a cheerleading uniform. You cannot tell me that you just cracked cheeks and got your rocks off and you didn't get changed.
No, it's pretty hard to believe, but I like the way she put her legs up and she was very ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, I will have to say she was DTF.
It was the weirdest
but
sex scene.
I just feel like it was the weirdest, out of place.
It was great role.
Ridiculous.
Play, I like how she was like, "Coach, put me in," and then she was like, come on, drive. And she's got her legs up, and he's like,
"That reminds me of Daniel's Scary Movie."
Yeah.
The first Scary Movie when the guy has Brenda put on his football gear.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like
that's
that.
What it reminded me of. I will have to say this movie is a genuine good time. It's not horrible. It's not fantastic. But it's a good time, and it's honestly one of those movies that, like, if you have, like, a younger child, like, between, like, 10 or 12 or whatnot, and they would like to get into movies and whatnot, this might, get into horror movies, this might be one of the better ones to show them.
Yeah.
I would say. There's not much sex. There's not much nudity. There's not much gore.
There's a couple nipples.
There's a couple nipples, but you're going to get a nip slip here and there. It's horror. That's just the way it is.
Right.
If you don't want a nip slip, you're going to have to show them goosebumps. That's just the way it is. But I will have to say that for what it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cheesy as hell, but I've seen cheesier, a.k.a. Velociraptor. So
I really think it's just a love letter to the genre.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, if you're a fan of the genre, which you are,
And you are. I am too.
I like it a little on a newer scale, but if you're a fan of the genre, which is the camp, a bunch of kids at a certain location getting knocked off, it does it well and it does it in a different way, especially with the twist at the end.
Yeah.
There's a couple different things that makes this movie stand out to other ones that are like it. And it is, like you said, it's a fun time. It doesn't have the best plot. It doesn't have the best dialogue, but there's funny moments too. And like everything that you like about these movies, this one has it.
Absolutely. They focused on having a good time. And also they focused on the ending not only being twisted, but being very cynical.
Yeah.
It was not a happy ending.
No, it wasn't a happy ending. It was a very, like, at the end of the day, it's a basic revenge scheme, but it's something I didn't
but
even see coming.
Didn't see coming.
No, I didn't see coming. A lot of people didn't see coming. And Leif Garrett said it. And a lot of people wanted to fuck him at this time.
But
so.
He was a douchebag in this movie.
He was.
I mean, I love him. He was a very beautiful man. He is a very beautiful man.
See, he came across as a greaseball in this.
But, exactly. He was douching it up in this movie.
Yeah, Leif just wanted yiggities.
Yeah, he just wanted yiggities. He didn't want it from the crazy girl that he was already getting it from. He wanted the yiggities elsewhere.
Yeah. So he was just trying to get yiggities anywhere he could get it. And that was his whole character.
Yeah.
And then a girl would reject him and he'd walk away and then somebody would die. And that's pretty much this whole movie.
Daniel, let's talk about the king, Timmy.
Yeah, Timmy. I think he auditioned for a different movie called Fat Camp, and they didn't let him in. But this dude, like, you got fat, which, listen, I've no fat shame. I was a big man. I still am a big man. But you got fat, and then you got Timmy. This dude's a good, like, 350 to 4. And he fucking...
He's obese. He's not just fat.
And when he pulls that big fat ass out that window and then farts at that poor woman... It's like you're looking at a bakery. This kid,
at least here, just like pushes him ever so slightly, and then Timmy's ass gets caught in the window.
Yeah, and it doesn't even fit. you know, it's smushing on the sides. He's a big fat motherfucker. He's the funniest guy in here, but it also he's
and he made it to almost the end.
He made it to the end, but he's a complete perv.
Oh,
he's a
yeah.
weirdo. And
he's a he's a perverted weirdo at his finest. But I will have to give it to him. He lasted a lot longer than I thought he would.
Yeah, he did. Which is nuts. But Timmy was funny. He was hilarious. But he was just fucking weird. And the fact that he had to videotape. And even like after, what was her name? Susie? Susie was the first hot chick that died, right?
Mm-hmm.
After Susie died, like he was looking at videotapes of her like naked and shit. It's like, dude. Like, what
he
the
was
fuck?
Watching when he filmed of her on the rock.
Yeah, it's like, dude, she's dead. Like, what the fuck, Timmy?
When the one guy, Leif Eric, when he was like... his character when he's like Timmy, like she just died, and he's like, well, she's not dead in this. Damn, Timmy.
Yeah, Timmy, you're a weirdo. Pot was probably my favorite character, the
okay.
old housekeeper.
Okay, yeah.
Because he was kind of the straight man, and he was funny. And
him and Timmy had a rivalry.
Yeah, him and Timmy had a rivalry, and the way he was talking to Mrs. Tipton was fun. Mrs. Tipton was just fucking. She is like, I mean, she's basically a criminal. The fact that like. This whole thing was done for, by the way, and that's what's great about this movie is how cheesy it is, and the competition is taken way too seriously for what we actually see the competition to be, because it's judged by the other women. It's judged by the other contestants.
It's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
That's great.
The whole competition doesn't make much sense, and the fact that we have to hide a dead body in the attic just so we can put this thing on was a little suspect.
Yeah, and the fact that the one team has three people missing, and she's like, well, that's okay, they're probably just off slacking. What?
Yeah.
They're gone. They're missing. And then you have a poor girl who's in hysterics because she's having nightmares about the people being killed.
Yeah. So Mrs. Tipton was fucked up, but then the cop came in, and he's like, what the fuck's going on here? And then she's like, yeah, there's a dead body up there, but it's...
I felt bad for her.
But then the cop was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, the cop was really stupid.
He was like,
the cop was just casually like, okay, so we're going to take you because you're crazy and you keep talking about everything, so you got to be the person that we're putting away. Let's go. And then they just leave Corey. They drive past her while she's doing a freaking cheer in her cheerleading uniform being a tappy of the clan because everyone's dead.
Yeah, that's fast-forwarded to the end. But I mean, even at the beginning when he sees Susie's dead body and he finds out that they're keeping her upstairs.
You are right.
So they can keep – but you're right. He did kind of do the blind eye at the end. But
yeah.
It all shows the show that this man might have not deserved the badge. But he was – like, it was just funny to me that it's like, oh, yeah, there's a dead girl. We're keeping up in the ice cabinet. It up there. We really want to put this competition on. He's like, all right, cool, put it on. He's like, fuck it.
Yeah, he reminded me a lot of the camp counselor at Sleepaway Camp, the owner.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way he kept on getting rid of everything, pushing everything under the rug.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit.
Making not want to be noticeable to the kids, being very adamant about that. That was a very big inspiration, I should say.
But poor Allison got fucked over heavy.
Poor Allison. Poor girl. You know, she was just having some premonitions.
Yeah.
And she had a douchebag boyfriend. And she was just trying to be nice. And at the end of the day, she was so sweet to Corey.
Yeah.
So the fact that Corey, of all people, did that to her, that is just sad.
Should have put her on the team. Don't make her a mascot.
She didn't put her as a mascot.
It wasn't her fault, but ultimately Corey became a mascot, and she was pissed about it.
Yeah.
Because that's how we got here. And that's why she was cheering at the end when she's like, I'm a cheerleader now, bitch, go to jail.
Mm-hmm. Which I get that. I just feel like Allison's character was a little misplaced
yeah.
to me. Just not even the character, but the demeanor of the character, Daniel. Was a little misplaced.
Yeah, and we've seen this before, but you need a good guy to pin it on and shit like this. And that was Allison was the good. She was the final girl, but not really. This didn't have a final girl, but she was the one that had to, like, because it had a bad ending. It didn't have a good ending, so you didn't need a final girl. But you needed someone to take the rap for everything.
Yeah.
And that's what she was there for.
Foxtrap. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, it has a lot of Foxtrap vibes. It even had, like, a older Sleepaway Camp. Like, if those kids were a bit older.
Yeah.
It has that type of vibe too. But
It was good for what it was. It's a fun ride.
It is.
It's a movie that you can watch with basically the whole family if they're into horror and they're into comedy. I will have to say, it is a good little gem.
Top kill would have to be Pam.
Oh, yes.
Getting
I'm already going
to
agree with you.
To the back of the head, because that shit was crazy.
That
or a
was
rake,
good.
It was
a hoe.
Okay, a hoe. Well, that hoe got hoed.
I was just going to say, hoe got a hoe.
It was fucking nasty. They showed it all. You saw it go through the back to the front. It
so
was
that part you might want to fast forward. But if you watch it on YouTube, which it is free on YouTube, people, if you watch it on YouTube, it's a little bit censored. So you don't it doesn't show that part.
Yeah.
That part's just not there.
But it was a good kill that made it a horror movie. You know,
yeah.
That's when you're like, oh, God, shit's real.
Yeah.
So it was a good cerebral type movie. It didn't take itself too seriously. Didn't need to. And it had a good enough twist.
Exactly, and I think the fact that it didn't take itself too seriously, guys, really helped it.
Yeah, it worked in its favor, I think. Because the absurdness of everything that's going on kind of makes these things. And when you kind of, like, try to go away from that, it ruins it a bit.
Exactly.
Friday's done it a few times. But when you embrace it, it's like, it really is just a stupid fun time. You can get a lot of fun out of it.
Yeah, and you could tell the kids were having fun
doing
it. The actors and the extras were having fun. They were having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that this was a shitty 1988, you know, direct-to-DVD movie, and this has better dialogue than the one we just talked about, Pulse, that tells you a lot.
Yeah, that does.
Because this has more, like, relatable, like, what these kids would actually be saying to each other. Maybe
exactly.
Timmy is not quite as pervy in real life, but they're it's, like, real, genuine conversations. They're not, like, just like, oh, Josh, why are you acting like...
We could be friends with those people.
Yeah, Kristen Bell and Josh, they it seemed like the first time they ever met each other. I know he was fucked up.
They were
up,
so disconnected.
There was no chemistry for us to believe that the boyfriend and the girlfriend.
Yeah.
We believed all the relationships.
There was so much chemistry in cheerleading camp. Like, it was like they put them all together for a movie, for a camp, and they were like, look, you're at camp now.
The only trope that this had, but it's not its fault because a lot of these movies have it, is
especially from the 80s.
You look at Allison and you're like, why the fuck are you with Brian? Like, why you're a good person. You can see that you're genuinely a good person. Why are you with this scumbag?
Typical angel with douche.
Yeah. But it happens in real life, though, so it makes sense. But it
that's
is a horror movie
I just said,
trope.
Typically angel with douche.
Yeah.
With douche. Like, that's just the way it goes. Like, the good girls end up falling for the douchebags.
How many jealous mascots would you give this out of?
Jealous gators.
Jealous alligators. How many jealous alligators would you give this out of 10?
Oh, God. It's just killing me. Because I really do like the movie. I don't want to give the wrong impression. But, guys, I can't go over a 4.5.
Okay. Really?
I can't do it. It was really, really good, especially for what it was trying to do. But, and for me, it was more of a parody movie on other movies in that genre and that time.
Yeah.
So it did well. It's just, I can't quite give it a 5. They had a sex scene without having sex.
Yeah.
I can't quite give it a 5.
See, I'm going to go a little off the script here, because I got a lot more fun out of this. I actually like this better than Sleepaway Camp.
Oh,
I actually like this better than the first Friday the 13th movie. I thought...
Maybe Jason.
Yeah. Before, well, maybe Jason's mom. But I give this a 6 out of 10.
Oh, damn.
I thought it was right on par with Pulse. I thought it was a good movie. It was, like you said, it was a fun time. I didn't get bored. I thought everything that, just watching, you know, even, like, just seeing, like, recaps and shit, like, it's a fun time. There's a lot to make fun of, but I think that speaks to why it's so good. Like, it's campy, and it's good campy horror.
Mm-hmm.
So...
It's a fun little time.
I liked it.
And it's not too long either.
No. It's 88 minutes of fun.
Yes. So, guys, we're going to give you a big old hootie. I'm going to see you guys next week or the week after. I don't know. I just started a new job. And we're going to watch Feed of Chucky together. I'll let you know more about that. Let's go ahead and give a big old hootie. And a Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Thank you all for listening and watching and supporting us. And, Daniel, you go ahead and have yourself an amazing vacation, okay?
Thank you. I will see everybody in the new year. It was a hell of a 2021. I'm excited to keep it back up with the Scaredy Cats family.